everyone. Welcome back to Table 40. Matt and Leslie here. And today, as we continue our playoff series, we have two of our close friends, Trevor and Lindsay Rosenthal. And they were just informing us that now they're the old people on the team in San Diego, which makes me feel even older because Trevor was the young puppy I remember in spring training who was trying to make the team in St. Louis. I guess a few years ago now, Trevor, it's gone by pretty quick, but we just, we're happy to see you guys. And Trevor obviously is on San Diego Padre right now and just advanced to the NLDS. And so we're super excited to watch you guys, but thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. We're super excited. I've been listening to the show and you guys do such a great job. And we've been waiting for this day.
Waiting for the phone call.
Yeah, waiting for the phone call. You know, it's always a yes when Matt calls either way, but this was an exciting one.
In fact, you guys were on the phone last night, right? And he was very proud of you for learning how to play poker.
Well, I'm not sure he knows how, but
he acted like he knew how.
He was trying to convince me that they weren't taking his money, which you know, playing cards with Trevor with the Cardinals and in his younger days, he made some questionable decisions. And sometimes it actually worked out, like his ignorance was bliss. But there was times where I was like, you don't have good cards. Why are you still in? That's a pretty big pot. And he's like, I just took a chance. I don't know. And I was like, Trevor, this is real money. Like, this isn't like, so I hope.
Don't tell Lindsay.
Yeah, hopefully.
I don't want to know.
10 years later, we can share the story or whatever it's been. But so hopefully he's gotten a little bit better.
All right, you guys. So Matt said that you were a young puppy. You were definitely our favorites, like hands down, our favorite young people. And the very first time we met you guys, you were newly married. And so we were at the PAO conference. And I remember Matt was telling me, he's like, Trevor Rosenthal, he's great. I can't wait for you to meet him. And I said, great. And we sat down with you guys and you had just gotten married and we came to the conference and you told me one of my favorite honeymoon stories I've ever heard. And so I really feel like everyone needs to hear this story. So you started out of the gate hot. So let's talk about your honeymoon.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I should tell the story or this just goes right hand in hand with the cards, with the ignorance is bliss, you know, like I feel like it must be a personality trait, honestly. do you want to tell them or?
I mean, we have different
views. Okay. So yeah. I'll just start it out and you just jump in.
Okay.
When I mess it up. So we got married, in. That year in 2011, right? 2011. And then we meet you guys in 2012 spring training and we go to PAO and we're telling this, we come up to you guys. I remember exactly. It was in the hotel lobby, like restaurant, right? And you guys were like sitting there hanging out after the first night of the conference. And, you know, we walk up, we're obviously young puppies intimidated to be with the cool veteran, you know, superstars and try and, you know, sneak our way into the couch. And luckily you guys are super nice and inviting. And so, yeah, we, talking about going to Jamaica and we're in Jamaica. And I don't know. We were just hanging out. There's really not a lot to do. We were like in that, you know, one of those, couples only resorts and so, you know, we were laying on the beach for about 10 minutes and I was kind of over that at that point and wanted to go exploring and see what kind of trouble we could get in. So I see like these dudes that work there that they were running these catamarans, these little like it's like a sailboat, but on like pontoon things. And there's like a little, trampoline in between these pontoons and a sail at the middle. So they're like taking them out and letting, you know, guests take them out. And then when they would bring them back in, they wouldn't really like let the guests park them. They would like to let the guests jump off and the guys who worked at the resort would jump on. And the way they parked it on the beach, they would like take it out kind of far and then gain a bunch of speed and like fly it up on the beach, like way out of the water. So I was like, man, like this is what we need to be doing right now. Like this looks cool. So we go over and I'm like, hey, can we take one of those out? They're like, yeah. Like, sign this waiver, whatever. I was like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, sign here, babe. Like, sign up, we'll do this. They're like, you know how to, you, you guys done this before? You know what you're doing? Yeah, yeah, I got it. Like, yeah, just hop on there. And they're like, really? They're like, you did this? I was like, of course, I do this all the time. You know, just did it yesterday. I'd never done it before. I had no idea what I was doing. So we get on it. I convinced Lindsay to go on. She's, I think the whole time, right? You were telling me that I needed to have them show me how to do it.
Yeah, I'm a rule follower. Duh, yeah. Like you just told them you knew how to do it and you had never done that in your life.
Yeah, well, I really just didn't have time for that. So I just wanted to be on this, having fun, and I didn't want to be not having fun anymore sitting on the beach. And so we get on it. Lindsay follows me, you know, we're just married, so follow your husband and, you know, all those good things. So she was trying to pick up her side of the slack. And so we're going out. They told us when we got on, they're like, okay, you see that line out there in the ocean? They're like, don't go past that. Cause once you go past that, you're like in open water and you're gone. Like we probably won't be able to get you. And I'm like, okay. So we go out, we're going slow. Like everything's going pretty good at that point. And I feel like I'm doing a good job, but then like we get to that point and I realize I don't know what I'm doing. Cause I didn't know how to turn around. I couldn't stop it. And so we just keep going past the point of where they told me not to go.
No return.
The point of no return. And I kind of like, I get the sail, kind of stop it from catching the wind, slow us down. And I'm like hand in the water paddling, trying to get it to turn. And they can see me from the beach. So they come zooming out in a boat with a motor. Yeah. To come get us. And so they come and get us, and they're obviously now they know I don't know what I'm doing. And they're super mad. They make us come back in. They explained to me how to do it at that point. And then, so we messed around some more, but then this is your side of the story. What happened next?
Well, then this was the next day. So the next,
we get
off. And so the next day you're like, oh, let's go take that catamaran thing out again. And I'm like, I don't know about that. That was just like insane, like terrible experience. And he's like, oh, I know how to do it now. So I'm like, okay. So we go, we take one out and he's like, babe, why don't you just like lay back, relax, like enjoy the day. It's so beautiful and sunny out. So I'm just like laying out, like relaxing. And he like picks up speed and literally like dumps me in the water. He's like on one side of this thing.
It's the technique that I was talking about that they did to put the thing on the beach. I did that technique, but it worked really well. And we got like inverted the catamaran up to one side and threw you off.
Literally dumps me in the water.
Yeah.
As I'm relaxing. And then you're trying to like move the sail to the other
side. No, you're
in
the water. This is not complete. This is Lindsay. This is Lindsay's personality. She's bawling her eyes out, screaming at me. That she hates me because I put her in the ocean and she's about to get eaten by a shark. And that's, I mean, and to this day, every time we have an experience like this, she's over the top.
Just well, I mean, and by the way, he nailed himself in the forehead with the sail, trying to like put it to the other side. So I'm like, what are you doing? You need to take, and then he takes us back in and he picks up speed like the workers do, but they know what they're doing and he does not. And we are coming in hot on the beach and like about to run over everybody that works there. I mean, and he's like, yeah, like that's how
they're like telling me like, slow down. I'm like, get out of the way. I'm not slowing down.
Yeah. So things started off hot. With the honeymoon. So did you go out a third day? I never knew this story.
What, no.
That was it.
I legit I tried and she said no and I couldn't talk her into it.
Heck no. No. We moved on.
Which has been an occurrence now 3 years of marriage.
You're pretty adventurous. I mean, like, I feel like that's true of you for sure.
Yeah. I'm not one to miss an opportunity.
Oh, that's incredible. So we want to talk about playoff baseball. I mean, Trevor, you've had an amazing career, and an observation that I've made in your journey is that Lindsay's been a big part of your success and a big part of, she's been a real encourager of you in the good times and the bad times. Like she's in fact, I saw a picture of you on Instagram with Trevor's face all over your shirt. And so,
oh, yeah,
that was really cute. By the way. So, But let's talk about that a little bit. Like, how does it feel to be married to somebody that is just so all in with your career?
It's pretty awesome. We were just actually talking about this two nights ago, after we won that game against the Cardinals to clinch, you know, to go to the NLDS. So just a couple nights ago, I was talking to Lindsay in the previous two games. So it was a 3-game series. The previous two games I had pitched, and I felt really good physically. Myself was good, but I was like pitching with like this just ton of like emotion, you know, because it was, you know, it was the Cardinals and just all that history. And so it was like there's like this edge to me that, like, you know, I just wasn't myself. I was kind of just doing too much. And so going into that third game, I'm like, okay. And Lindsay kind of, you know, sensed it too. She's like, you just got, like, talking to her the night before. She's like, you got to put it out of your head. Like, you just got to be you, like, just do your thing. And I'm like, okay. So before the game, I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about her. I'm thinking about, you know, like, I just need to, like, I just gotta, you know, get the emotion out of it. And, you know, and then I gotta keep that. Like, I gotta, you know, cause when you're pitching, like, you can make a good pitch or a couple good pitches or get an out, and it's easy to kind of like back off and like get back into like a bad state of mind, or, you know, just not keep quite the focus. And for me, I think in preparing for that, I was thinking about Lindsay and how she is just so like unrelenting, so disciplined with everything she does. And so I used that, and I told her after the game, I'm like, I was thinking about you the whole time. Cause like, I knew if it were you, if you were in my shoes, like, she would without a doubt, like, finish the job, stay focused every single pitch, and do everything exactly the right way. And that helped me. And that's how it's been, you know, that's how it's been through my whole career. Ever since I met Lindsay when I was in the minor leagues, that was really, you know, a changing point for me and how I approached baseball, the opportunities I had, and just trying to make the most of them. And through our marriage and having kids and all the ups and downs and all the challenges that we've had, you guys know how it is with just, you know, running a home, having kids and traveling all over the place and all these different jobs and pitching stressful ninth innings. I mean, she's just been the rock. She's never wavered, always supported me, pushed me when I didn't want to show up. And so, yeah, that's her. And that was a cool story of how that kind of came to fruition the other night.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that.
So let's go back a little bit. So you have a lot of success early, right? You helped us get to World Series, a lot of playoff games, saves, and then there's a bit of adversity. You hurt your arm. You tried to pitch through it, and then you end up having surgery, and then coming back off surgery. So there's been some ups and downs, right? So in talking about like dealing with ups and downs of sports and in life, things happen. Like, it's God promises that there's going to be adversity. Take us back to like how you dealt with kind of the super highs of a young career and kind of this trajectory of being like an all-time great closer for the Cardinals, and then injury, and then kind of trying to figure out, get your timing and kind of everything that happened last year, and then kind of coming back around and having such a good year, you know, this year. Talk to us about a little bit about kind of that cycle of your career.
Yeah. I mean, I think starting out, I was, you know, lucky to meet someone like Lindsay and to be married, you know, being thrust into, you know, the opportunities that we had and really all the success at a young age. And, you know, all those things I just talked about with Lindsay, you know, played a huge role and us being able to, you know, stay disciplined, stay true to ourselves and just continue to work to make the most of the opportunity that God was giving us. And then, you know, on the other side of that, you know, just being in an organization where, you know, the Cardinals are just known for their, you know, such a rich history and success and doing things a certain way and bringing in players that, you know, personify that. And so having guys like, you know, like Matt and Waino and Yachty, and, you know, we had, you know, Carlos Beltran, Skip Schumacher, all these just really high quality people surrounding me. And that really, like Matt, you know, you just brought me in from the get go. And it, you know, it was this thing being on a plane where, you know, you're used to being a young guy and being told go to the back of the plane, where these guys were inviting, and they let me come up to the card table or invited me to that dinner and just let me feel a part of the team in so many ways. And I think for me, especially being young, that helped me so much to not think about myself all the time. You know, I was in a community. I was around other guys who were experiencing the same levels of success and had already experienced more success than me. And to see how those guys were living their lives and treating their family or just treating themselves away from the field, I think had a huge impact on being able to stay level headed and just continue to, you know, put in the work. And I, you know, at times I wish I could have maybe enjoyed some of those moments a little bit more, but you know, looking back now, I think being able to keep my head down, you know, was a big factor in continuing to repeat that success over and over. And especially in, you know, like you said, those high leverage situations, pitching in the playoffs, getting, you know, World Series saves at, it was like 23 years old and, you know, just, you know, some crazy moments. So I think that, yeah, that more than anything. And then now, I guess, yeah, the last couple of years have been completely different. Things are going so smooth for all those years in St. Louis. And, you know, we were looking forward to, you know, we're getting close to free agency. More than anything, you know, you playing this game, you know, you're looking forward to that payday and getting, you know, a long-term contract and finally having some security for your family. And so we were getting there, you know, everything was just like, oh, this is going really good. I was, you know, pitching good, made the all-star team, going into arbitration. And you know, I struggled for a little bit, but then, you know, rebounded, got the closer role back in 2017. And the next year I was going to have my last year arbitration and go into free agency. And then that's when the injury happened. So I think that was for us, like the hardest thing, dealing with that is not only just being able to play, but the fact of, well, now I'm hurt and I just got released by the Cardinals. I don't have a job. Now, this is the time when I was supposed to be making the most money that I've ever made in my career. And now I have nothing. And so for us, that was, you know, a challenge and that was scary, especially when you're coming home with your arm in a cast and it's like, this is the moneymaker. And like, now I can't even brush my teeth. So, how the heck am I going to provide for the family? And, but yes, yeah, so, you know, I don't know. What do you think, babe? Like, when that happened, what was kind of like the mindset of me or you? Did we?
Yeah, I mean, that was really tough for us because, well, first of all, you had only ever known the Cardinals. I mean, you were drafted by them, you came up through their system. And then once we, like, you know, you got to the big leagues with them and you stuck and we met people like, you know, Matt and Leslie and you know, like Jenny and Wayno and Carp and McKenzie and all of these awesome people in our lives who became such our close friends, we were super sad because this was, I mean, it was just such a huge part of our life and a huge part of your career. It's all we ever really knew. And we loved it here. This is home. I mean, we made it home in the off season because we loved it so much and, you know, had our girls here. And I just remember feeling super like, super sad, super let down. I don't know. We were just, yeah, that was hard. I think it was hard for you too. And you didn't really want to like admit it, but I think deep down for you, you were kind of like, crap, like, what do we do now? Like, what is this going to look like when I recover? If I recover, will I ever pitch again? Will I be as good as I once was? So yeah, that was a lot of like, definitely tested our faith. Definitely we grew deeper in our faith. We had to lean so much more on the Lord than we, you know, I mean, that was the great part about it is the fact that we were not in control at all, even though we always, you know, think we are in some areas. That was just complete like loss of control and we didn't know what was next. So that's kind of how I remember that. I remember I was super sad. You were kind of like, wow, why are you bawling your eyes out? Like, this is a huge change for us and our family. And it's kind of all we knew.
But then we went back to work, right? Like we, you know,
yeah. But then like you put in the work. I mean, that was like a long 18 months, but
we took advantage of the time, like being together and, you know, we got into the Bible and got into the word and, you know, took advantage of, you know, the extra free time to spend together and
we had Landry.
Make ourselves. Yeah. We had a baby.
Yeah. We had a baby and you were there for every single thing.
Yeah. Every single thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I don't think you wanted to be once you saw how it was.
Yeah.
But
that's a whole other story. Jeez.
Well, new baby.
Yes.
New baby.
Well, this is the this is a quick story. This is the story about this baby. So I get hurt. All these bad things just happen, and we're going to church. We're on our way to church. We're talking in the car on the way to church. Kids are in the back, you know, being super loud, annoying. And we're just like, you know, all right, going to church. We're like, we want to stop at Starbucks and get a coffee. We stop at Starbucks, get a coffee. We're in the drive-thru, and Lindsay's like, what do you think about having another baby right now? I was like, no way. Like, never. Like, I'm good. Like, I'm not. Like, yeah. Like, he's you like, not what see what's going on in the back seat right now? Like, this is enough. Like, we're one-on-one. We got two. There's two of us. This is perfect. Like, let's not mess this up. So we get the coffee. We pull out. She's still kind of, like, talking about it. We pull up to the stoplight. There's a last stoplight before we're about to go to church. Last stoplight. I look over. She's bawling her eyes out because I told her I didn't want another. She's like crying hysterically because I told her I didn't want to have another baby right now. I said, just right now, is this not a good time? Let's wait. Like, let's wait like for a couple more years. And then we had a baby like really shortly after that. Because she
you see who won that battle, didn't you?
So, if you want a baby,
you were going to say she's like, oh, I'm pregnant. So
yeah. No, she cried and then convinced me because I felt bad. And I was like,
that's a good reason to have a baby.
Yeah.
I mean, I figured you should be home for a while. So why not?
Yeah.
And you loved it. You loved every single bit of it. She's great. So, yeah,
we had Landry. And she is amazing. She's the funniest one out of the group.
Yeah.
And then baseball wise, then we did all the rehab and then we go we signed with the Washington Nationals, which we were super excited about. Had always admired DC, always admired the Nationals organization from afar. And so we were excited for that opportunity. And that opportunity went absolutely horrible.
Horrible. The lowest point in our career.
But you dealt in spring training, right? Because I was like,
I was all right. Like the first couple were good. And then like, it just like started, like I was even coming home telling Lindsay, like, I don't know how this is going.
He's like, yeah, I don't know.
He's like, you got three outs today. I was like, I'm not sure how though. Like that's the problem.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can do it again is the problem.
Oh, that's incredible.
So then you got released.
So, June 23rd, never forget it.
But I think though, we talked about this even like when it was happening. Like, I think the fact that we had all that time off and we did take advantage of it and, you know, grow in our relationship and our relationship with the Lord and our faith, like going through that horrible experience in Washington, just like a, you know, horrible personal experience, because, you know, you look at my numbers, like I literally like couldn't get an out. Like I set major league records for like most consecutive outings without getting a single hitter out. Like it was just like literally like a storybook. Yeah.
Like it was literally like laughable. Up. Yes.
But for some reason, like through this whole time, like there was just like a kind of like a piece about it. And we even talked about it like while it was happening. Like,
yeah.
You know, like it, I don't know how there's just a calmness, a peace, like a sense of security.
Crazy.
Like it's going to be okay. Like this isn't everything. Like, you know, there's a plan. If it's not baseball, like we didn't know what it was, but I just knew that this wasn't the end of the world for us, or this, you know, this wasn't going to be the worst thing that we ever experienced. And, you know, to try and just learn from it and find the good in it really is what it felt like. And to appreciate the moments that we did have and the people that we were around, because we were around a lot of cool people in that organization. It was a good organization. They ended up winning the World Series. And, you know, so, you know, I think we ended up, you know, being thankful for that time and thankful for that experience, even as bad as it was. And I think it's a huge, you know, huge testament to the time we had off and putting in some personal work and making sure that we had growth, even through the previous experience.
Is there anything that you remember specifically that God taught you that you could hold on to real tight when, cause I mean, that was quite a run of just such a starkly different career. I mean, like we've understated it a little bit, but I mean, Trevor, you were like really, really good. And then you get injured and then you really experience some things that you probably didn't think were for you in the major leagues. And so I'm just curious if there was anything specific that you would encourage someone that's going through something similar, right? And so,
yeah,
I don't know.
I think it's just, I think as I've gotten older and then going through those experiences, I think it's just that. It's just, you know, there, whatever you're doing, whatever you're involved in or whatever your experience might be, it just doesn't in the moment, it can seem like so much more than it really is. And I think for me, that's something that I've learned. And especially through those moments, like, okay, yeah, our world right now is baseball, and like this stadium and these fans seem pretty intimidating and seem pretty big, like in this moment, but how big is that going to be in, you know, eternity or in my lifetime, you know, spent here on earth? I might not even remember this moment in a few years, you know? And so I think, understanding that and understanding what is important and making sure that, you know, even though you might have a job or opportunities that you have to invest a lot of time and effort into, there's other things that you need to invest as much time into that are going to impact you or help you or, you know, have a more eternal, impact than that one moment that does matter and is important and is special. But if you're not doing the other things, when those little moments are gone, it's going to be hard to replace. And so I think that for me, it was something that I've definitely held on to. And, it's helped me to enjoy, you know, moments more now and also understand, you know, how to, I think approach some of these moments, because I think Matt can probably attest a little bit, as you play longer, the games don't have as much of an adrenaline rush. And especially this year, you know, without fans in the stands. And so I can sit there and think like, man, like this game probably doesn't really matter that much. You know, like if I go to heaven, like who really cares about this game here in San Diego? I'm playing at Petco Park with no fans, you know, but, you know, understanding kind of my mind and using that to, you know, trick myself to, you know, make the moment a little bit, you know, it kind of fire myself up more about it. It's been interesting, but I think for me, yeah, that's been it. What about you, babe? Do you have anything?
Well, yeah, I'll add to that, because you didn't tell the whole story last year, because once you were released from the Nationals, then you come home and 4 days later you get picked up by the Tigers and they send you to, AAA. That's right. You haven't been there in a while. And so you go to AAA. You're not doing great in AAA, to be honest, which I mean, I'm just being honest here.
Anywhere.
I know, but you were like, all right, I'm just going to go and, you know, I'm going to just kind of bloom where I'm planted here. So you know, I guess they want to give you a chance. You had an opt out or something like that. And so they call you up to the big leagues with the Tigers. You're there for 3 weeks, you get DFA'd. Okay. And then we're like back to where we were and we're like, are you serious right now? So then you come home and I remember we went to Branson for the weekend. You're like, I'm so done this year. Like nobody wants me on their team. I think I'm just done this year. And I'm like, all right then. So, but then the Yankees call and then they were like, yeah, we want you to come. We want you to come to Tampa. We want you to work on some things. And by the way, on that team, you would have had an opportunity to be a September call up, except in AAA, you couldn't record an out. You remember that? And you were like, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
And I can't.
I mean, it's just the icing on the cake. Like, it's literally like, you know, you dream of playing for the Yankees. Like, you guys got to experience it. It's like, you know, it's the freaking Yankees. It's New York. Like, this is going to be awesome. Pinstripes. And so he's like, yeah. He's like, you know, our agent calls and he's like, they want you. Like, they want you really bad. Like, they want you to be, you know, in the playoffs because they don't have a ton of starting pitching. So they're going to go heavy on the bullpen and they want you there. And so, you know, all you got to, I go to Tampa for 2 weeks. There's one game left in AAA, like literally just one game. And so they sent me to Scranton to pitch in one game. And all I had to do was pitch good one time. And there I was going to be a September call up. And I'm like, I'm feeling good. Like things have been going a little bit better. I warm up in the bullpen, like lights out in the bullpen. I'm like, I'm feeling good. Like this is going to be a good day. Come out, warm up, first pitch, like straight to the backstop, like not even anywhere close. Like, I could just tell. Like, I'm like,
didn't you walk
the worst bases year loaded? Ever? Like, I was so excited.
I think you walked the bases loaded.
I probably walked like 12 guys and they took me out.
But my point is through all of that, like through all of that it was a terrible year for you. It doesn't make we just wanted so badly for you to like bounce back and be who we know you can be. But you just were so like humble through that whole experience. And you just, so like you got to be around all these different people and maybe that's where God wanted you to be at that time in that year to share, like to share about him to these younger guys who had never experienced the big leagues, or these younger guys who maybe have never, you know, gotten to know the Lord. And you just, I just admired that so much about you, because you were still so professional. You went about your business. You never quit. You never backed down. I'm sure you were like super humiliated, but you just wore it. I mean, like, you just went every day and you worked hard and you like shared with these guys and you like respected them. And even though you hadn't been in the minor leagues for years, I mean, you know, you just took it as an opportunity to just kind of like share like your experiences. And that's awesome. I love that. I loved seeing that.
Proud papa moment right here, Trevor. Good for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Man,
it is really fun. Like, this is really fun, because we met you guys when you were so young, and I mean, you're still really young compared to compared to us, but it's so fun to see how God's like grown your marriage and your like, it's really cool. Well, proud parents.
And Trevor, and watching you this year, it seems like you're enjoying the moment. And I think that was something that I, when I went back with Colorado in 18, I really just wanted to enjoy it, knowing that that could be my last kind of run, or, you know, I wasn't sure, but I knew that I wanted to enjoy, because I knew when I set out, you know, part of 18 and started to look at retirement, I think the thing that, like you mentioned earlier, like trying to enjoy the moment and really, instead of worried about the next moment, try to be in the moment and enjoy that moment. And it looks to me like, when I watch you perform this year, there's a sense of enjoyment and excitement and just embracing the moment and the teammates that looks a little bit different. Is that something that you would say that you're focused on? I mean, in watching your body language after a save and just your persona on the field, it looks a little bit different to me.
Yeah, 100%. But I mean, also too, honestly, like, I think a little bit of that too is being on this San Diego team. Like, it's a different style of baseball and it's a different group and it's different than I've ever experienced, you know, in St. Louis, in Kansas City, like pretty stoic type of, you know, baseball and organizations as a whole. And, you know, trying to just respect the game and do everything a certain way. And I kind of, all those rules are thrown out the window with this team, and it's like, everybody's embracing it. I think the whole MLB, it's kind of embraced it over, you know, a course of some different things happening. And that's just kind of like the label we have now. And it's an encouragement to me of that mindset that I already had of wanting to enjoy it. And it just, it's like reinforced it and it's made it even better. Like, you know, this is a rare opportunity and it is hard to do good. So when you do good, like, yeah, like, let's celebrate that. Let's enjoy that. Like, it's, you know, it's not disrespectful. It's just like, you know, this is a fun time. Like, and at the end of the day, like, we're kids just playing a game, and you know, let's not take ourselves too seriously. If I mess up, you know, like, and someone wants to do something, like, I can laugh at myself. Like, I know I'm not perfect. Like, bad things are going to happen, but, you know, when the good things happen, be happy about it.
That's great. So how do you like playing for Skip? So is that weird? Let's talk about that for a second. 'Cause he was a teammate or really close friend. Skip and Lindsay are close friends of all of us. And so what's it like Coach Skip versus teammate Fun Skip?
I mean, well, so you know Skip, like, he fits into that mold, like, already, kind of like he's kind of like, you know, he can put the blinders on and, you know, be intense and has that scowl. Like, he has, you know, a good, like, you know, intense face where, like, a manager, you know, you just picture like a major league manager, like, oh, I'm not going in his office. Like, okay. But he's still like, he's, you know, but the weird thing is for me is like, he's still just as jacked as he was when he was playing. So like, I look at him, I still view him as a teammate, like as a player. Like, he could go out and play second base, play the outfield. Like, today, I feel like, but he's amazing. And I know me being here, like, he's a big part of that. Like, I know for a fact that he, you know, brought my name up and, you know, said good things about me that probably weren't true, you know, that helped me to get here. And so, you know, we have a great relationship, and, you know, through you guys introducing us to them and being able to grow that relationship, special people. Skip's a special person. And I, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's cool, that position that he's in too, being like the, like assistant manager, whatever
regional,
that is.
Regional manager. Yeah. Assistant.
Yeah.
Manager.
Yeah.
That's yeah, what I exactly. tell him. I'm like, you're the assistant to the regional manager, Skip, just like, you know, Dwight Schrute.
I'm yeah. Like, exactly. But like, that's like, it's a cool, like, it's a cool role for him and like for the players, because, you know, you can like relate to him and talk to him, and like, and he's like, he's still like, he's a guy, like he's like almost like the manager. And I don't know. I like that. Like, I like that relationship that he has with the players and being able to relate and talk to guys. And, but then, and like, you know, you also know if he says something to you, like it has weight, like there's weight behind it because of the position that he's in.
That's cool. Yeah.
So what about baseball? We should talk about the playoffs, the 2020 playoffs. This is different. COVID is weird. And I mean,
I hate COVID so much. Like, I'm so over it.
It's so bad.
I think the exciting thing is though, the National League will get fans in the NL Championship Series, right?
Yeah. So
it'll be like 12,000 fans or something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
That'll be exciting. Well, I mean, even though when you watch these football games, like the teams that let fans in, at least it feels like a real sporting atmosphere. It's just been so strange to watch with the cardboard cutouts. Like, I mean, it's just, especially playoffs, like it doesn't have quite that buzz when you're watching it. I'm sure it's the same way when you're playing it.
Yeah.
Something you can't replicate of walking out to a sellout crowd, you know, with the intensity that's on the line. How is that? Like, do you feel, I mean, does it feel like a playoff game at all? Or?
I mean, it's been, I mean, fortunately, like, I think, I don't know. For me, it's been fine. And I think this year, like, you're just kind of used to it at this point.
Yeah.
San Diego did a pretty good job of like pumping in crowd noise and like, you know, doing all the sound effects the same as they would if fans were there. And so that helps a lot. But yeah, I mean, like when we had that clinch in San Diego, like the city was crazy. There's thousands of people outside the stadium, like going nuts, surrounding the bus, like the team bus. And you're like, man, like, I've missed this. Like, this is so, it's so cool to see people so excited about just like one thing and just coming together. Everybody's so happy. And yeah, I mean, you can't, I don't know. Like it's going to be tough. Like, I wish we could have that.
I know. 'Cause that's the best part. I think something that might be interesting, Lindsay, to people is the wives and families love the playoffs as much as the players do. And it's such a unifying situation for the city, of course, but for all the families, because we come together, it's kind of nerdy, but it's true that we get matching mm-hmm. shirts, and our kids are with us too, which is super fun. And do what? Yeah, we get to fly on the plane, and we get to be treated like our husbands do, and eat Chick-fil-A and whatever else. Yeah. It's amazing. It's an amazing flight.
All the snacks.
But one of my favorites, and the most wild, we were talking about it before we called y'all, is when we were stuck on the tarmac on our way to Boston. And we had babies. Gosh. You and I had babies.
I had a 4 or 5 week old.
Yes.
Nursing and business casual was great.
Yes. Horrible.
Yes.
So Reed and sweet baby Chloe were nursing babies, and we were stuck on a plane. And then Matt
for a long
David
time.
Ordered pizza.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we ran out of like food and drinks.
Yeah.
Emo's brought pizza.
Yes.
Their commercial boy called it in.
Yeah. David.
We were supposed to get to Boston like around 7 o'clock that night, and we got in like at 2 a.m. and had a game like the next day or something.
Yeah. We all had to deplane and replane, and
it was great. It broke COVID protocol for sure. It wouldn't be a thing anymore. And I remember also another vivid memory with y'all is when we had to fly. Was it from Washington to San Francisco? And we landed in San Francisco when the sun came up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like, those experiences are experiences that I will never forget, because it's just different. It's a different environment mm-hmm. during the playoffs than, you know, you learn to appreciate your husband's job a little more whenever, you know, a teammate that will not be named would play the really loud California song when everyone's
landing.
And it's just the life they live is bizarre. And so,
yes, very
so bizarre.
It's bizarre, but it was so much fun. So much fun.
So fun. Oh my goodness. Now you're making me want to make her get on a plane right now and get here.
I know. I'm not in the bubble, you guys. I'm not allowed to come in.
Well, what if you just showed up at the hotel that he's staying at? I mean,
that's what I told. I told Travis Secretary. I said, if my wife comes, like, I'm doing whatever I want. Like, you can tell MLB, like, tell him to send me home. But, like, this is ridiculous.
I'm a grown man.
I didn't start my
quarantine. I got traded, and I got on a plane and came to the team, and all they did was, like, a nasal swab, 15 minutes, and I was let right in. Like,
and a saliva.
Why can't I do that with my wife? Like, if it's good enough for me, why is it not good enough for her?
Yeah, there's some holes.
We've tried. Some, yeah,
the rules are weird.
We tried. Well, they started quarantining a week and a half ago. If you wanted to be part of like the traveling party and be like with your guys the whole time. And when you have school age children, it doesn't work. And remember, we've got the oldest kid on the team. You remember that part?
Yeah, you're
blessed. So it just isn't very like conducive to like what we're doing here at home right now. And so I just told him, I was like, you're going to have to make it to the NLCS. And then I'll
if we get past this round,
move my schedule around.
Yeah.
Incredible.
By the way, guys, we bought a new house too, just saying. So we're about to move. And so that's another thing.
Where are we moving to?
To town and country. Like,
but then we're
going
to sell that. And then we're going to move to San Diego next year.
On the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. And so any more baseball questions for you? I mean, I'm just excited that you're throwing super hard and you're really fun to watch whenever the night. I'm like, ah, Trevor's up. Let's go. And so,
yeah.
And I love your team. I love watching the Padres.
They're
swaggy.
They are.
Feeling of playing against the Dodgers. I mean, I know that you haven't really been there this year, but maybe as much as they have. But
yeah,
is there a feeling? Do you get a feeling about the matchup?
Yeah, I mean, so since being traded over here, I've gotten to talk with the GM a little bit more than I've talked to like other teams' GMs, especially in such a short period of time. And I really enjoy his approach and his experience and talking to him. And I think, you know, I think with that relationship that I've developed, like, I feel like this sense of like, this is our time. Like, this, we need to take this division over. And like this year and for like the years to come, like this is what they're trying to do. Like San Diego, they're like, you know, the Padres like trying to, you know, rebrand the organization a little bit, and they have the young players to do it. And they've been stacking like these, you know, these Machados and the Hosmers. And like, I mean, they've been doing it, and he's good. And he's brought in good people, and we have good guys on this team. It's a good mix. And that has me like super fired up. But I mean, obviously, you know, playing against the Dodgers and with the Cardinals, you know, we love to beat them, so why not continue that?
Like every year.
And the brown, man. I mean, brown is hot right now. Like, yeah, brown's never been hotter. Like,
the uniforms are sick. I mean, I like
brown and yellow.
Yeah.
The pinstripes, dude. The pinstripes are the best.
Yeah, I agree.
I love it.
All right, you two. So here's my last question. So what would – and we've asked this before, and I actually think it's a good question. I mean, Matt and I like thinking about the answer to our question too. So what would older Trevor and older Lindsay say to younger Trevor and younger Lindsay about marriage, parenting, and baseball?
Oof.
The time.
So many things.
So many things. Oh.
Well, for one, just I'm like, just don't be an idiot. Like, don't make all the bad decisions. Like, just don't, you don't need to try everything, you know, like there's some things that you don't need to try out to figure out like that they're wrong. Like, just take someone's word for it. So I think some of those things I could learn from.
But I think with marriage, though, I think you and I got married super young. So you were 21 and I was 22. We're about to celebrate 9 years this year. And we're, you know, still pretty young to do that. And so I would just say, to tell our younger selves, like, it's going to be such like a dance back and forth, and there's going to be ebb and flow, and you just have to be so intentional about everything that you do and want to accomplish in your marriage to stay close and to grow together as one unit. That's really hard to, I don't know, remember and put into play like at a younger age. Especially like in our lifestyle in baseball, because it's already so crazy and super fun, but so different. I would say that about our marriage, because we just learned so much since then until now, and our marriage is so much better. And really just to like, through our whole like career, your career, our lifestyle now, which isn't going to be reality forever, but just to make sure that we, I would have just like wanted to know, like, you know, as long as like, you know, we're striving to keep God at the center of everything we do here, like everything else will fall into place, because it's not always going to be what you want, you know, hence, you know, injury and bad years, going from really good to really bad and then bouncing back and not knowing what comes next. So I would say that. Same with parenting. It's just intentional. It's just, it's hard, and it's just a work in progress, and you're learning every day. Give yourself some grace, lots and lots of grace. And just let your kids enjoy it too. Like, not, I'm such a schedule oriented person, but I've learned, if I've learned anything in our lifestyle, I've learned that it is not going to be on my schedule. It is never going to work out that way. So just to let our whole family enjoy the moment. And, you know, it's okay if your kids miss a nap time, or if they go to bed way too late, or if they're eating at 1 o'clock in the morning. It's just kind of what we do in baseball world. So
that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
What do you guys have? You guys have any cool advice for us? Like, I mean, you guys are about what, 10 years older, and you kind of have been through this little transition period that we're going through. So like for the next few years for us, do you have anything, words of wisdom?
I would say enjoy it. Like, you know, when you're done playing, you're going to look back and you're going to miss the camaraderie, like we're talking about. Like, you're going to miss, there's things that you can't replicate when you're done playing, that you have right now, and built in community and diversity and just all the different people you get to run across. And I think that's hard to replicate. And I think that's something that we talked about, like just really trying to enjoy where you're at and enjoy every opportunity you get to play and to be part of people's lives and communities and things like that. Because when you're done, it's definitely different. And it's, you know, it's like, I regret not enjoying playing more, that I grinded a little too hard. And sometimes, like you talked about, enjoying the successes and saying, you know what, it is hard. Baseball is hard. And getting to the playoffs is hard. And winning a World Series is hard. And you don't always have to be worried about the next obstacle or the next challenge in the moment. And that's what, one thing that I would say is, looking back on my career, that not a regret. I just wish I'd really kind of enjoyed it more.
Yeah, I like that.
That's me too. Yeah. And far as a faith thing, I mean, we've talked about this before too, is I wish I, at a younger age, I would have learned how to take God at his word more seriously. Meaning that, like, what does it really look like to live free? And what does it really look like to live forgiven? Instead of, I don't know, I just think I would have spoken up a little more consistently about Jesus and about my faith. At a younger age, if I would have really believed that I was fully forgiven, if that makes sense. Like, I think, you know, and I think it's important. And, but one thing I don't regret about Matt's career, and something that I loved, and is that I love that we were able to like practice hospitality, you know, and I think that you guys are the same way. And I think that that's why we're such good friends and we'll remain friends for a really long time, is like allowing people in your life and allowing people in your home. I'm really grateful that we did that. And I'm really grateful that we, were able to just be together with the people that God placed on our team and in kind of each other's lives. I'm so grateful for that. I think that's what makes this podcast so fun, you know, is you get to reconnect with like real friends, you know? And so it's been such a joy, and it's so great to see you guys. I love it. We won't lie. I promise we won't share any video.
In my PJs.
Yeah, we won't do that. It's great to see you. We love you guys.
Yeah, we love you guys too.
We love you guys too.
Thank you for listening to Table 40, part of the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network. For more stories on sports and faith, check out sportsspectrum.com.